Welcome to the Garden Talk podcast, where we interview growers from all over the world, both beginners and experts, seeking to learn more about what they know about gardening and how they do things in their garden. What's up, everybody? For you that don't know me, my name is Chris, aka Mr. Grow It. You're tuned into the Garden Talk podcast. This is episode number 120. In this episode, I interview Chris from Happy Hydro. He's been gardening for over 20 years and is the owner of happyhydro.com. He was on the podcast once before, episode 3. Yeah, major throwback there, where he talked all about the environment for plants growing indoors. This time around, he talks about stealth gardening indoors. He reveals several tips and tricks in order to keep things stealth. If you want to see highlights of these podcast episodes, search Garden Talk Clips on YouTube. That channel is dedicated to short, bite-sized clips of these episodes. I also have a gardening channel where I have over 130 videos showing the plants that I've grown in my garden. I'll have that channel linked down in the YouTube description section below. One of my goals for this podcast is to bring free information about gardening to the general public. That being said, I'd like to thank the sponsors of today's episode who helped make that goal possible. Thanks to AEC Infinity for sponsoring this episode. Check out their Instant Potting Mix, a soilless grow medium made from 100% organic coco coir fiber. It's buffered and triple washed to maintain pH stability and reduce salinity. It comes in a 2-pound brick, which expands to fill up to a 3-gallon grow pot. Click the link in the description section below so you can learn more about their instant potting mix. And the discount code MrGrowIt15 works on both Amazon and their website, acinfinity.com. Stash Blend. Stash Blend is a 2-1-5 plant additive that can be used with synthetic bottled nutrients or in living soil systems. Simply mix 1/2 teaspoon of Stash Blend into 1 gallon of water, then water your plants with it. Ingredients include corn steep liquor, seaweed extract, humic acid, beneficial bacteria, silica, and mycorrhizal fungi. Check it out at stashblend.com, link in the description section below, and use the discount code THESTASH. And we're back. Welcome to the Garden Talk podcast. Today I am joined with Chris from Happy Hydro. How are you doing today?
Doing well, man. How are you doing?
Doing good. Thanks for asking.
It's been a while, dude. It's good to be back.
I know, right? I was just going to say, you were the third episode on Garden Talk. This was actually back in January 9th, 2021. I dug this up. We talked about the environments for indoor plants, temperature, humidity, CO2, and air circulation. And that has over 258,000 views on YouTube alone. And that doesn't even count the podcast platforms, because we're on there as well.
Which I never expected. And I actually had someone from my hometown come up to me when I was there, like, over the summer. They're like, yo, dude, I saw you on Mr. Grow It. I'm like, what? So that's funny, dude. It was, yeah, man, you've came a long way, dude.
Yeah, and you've been around for a long time, at least our, you know, relationship. I think 2017 is when we really first connected, and you wanted to do a sponsorship through me, and you were one of the first ones. I had you, and then like, I think one or two of the brands actually reach out to me. And once I found out about you, and really when we sat down and had that first conversation, and I learned about you, your vision, Happy Hydro, how you put customers first, quality first, I knew that it was a good fit. And here we are, what, 5 years, 6 years later, and we're still like connecting, we're still collaborating, and I'm still a big supporter of Happy Hydro. So really glad to have you on here today. We got a great topic. We're going to be talking about stealth gardening indoors. I actually had somebody do stealth gardening outdoors, guy over in Europe, actually, and I had to like disguise his voice. He had to put a mask on. It was pretty crazy. But indoors is going to be a whole different battlefield. So I'm excited to get into this with you.
Yeah, dude, me too. It has been a long time, and I'm pretty sure when we did that first sponsorship, I don't even think I really had a website yet. It was just starting up, you know, on Amazon. I had like a basic website with just like scissors and LED loop and stuff, but we've came a long way now, dude. Like, we've got everything you can ever imagine on the site, and I'm gonna take this opportunity to shout out to the boys and girls, my friends that I work with, and you know, I've known these people for 10-20 years. Matt, Aaron, Brandon, Nick, Lourdes, and Jessica. That's the Happy Hydro team, and like I just feel like I wouldn't be sitting here with you for the second time here, if it wasn't for them. So thank you guys. If you guys ever shop at happyhydro.com, you'll probably interact with any of these people. So they're doing a good job, and we all love what we do. So
great team over there. I've met a handful of them in person, and really, really for the customer again and for quality. You're doing great things over there, so keep it up. But before we get too deep into the topic, we talk about stealth gardening here. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into gardening?
Well, it started when I was, you know, pretty young. My first plant I grew in my bedroom, and I had tin foil on the walls. It was in the closet. I was just watching YouTube videos, you know, just one plant, you know, I want to try to grow it. And I don't know, a month in, 2 months in, my mom found it, ripped it all apart. I just walked in one day and it was all gone. I was like, oh, bummer, dude. I tried getting it back. Didn't work. but, you know, after that, I just was always intrigued by it. This was back in, you know, 2014, 15, 16, 17. It was a different landscape. And I'm in New York where things, you know, just this year, within the past 2 years, have become legal and free. I've spent a lot of time and met a lot of people who have had to stealth grow. So I worked at the Hydro Store for a long time, where I just got to meet so many people and learn so much. So I'm excited to share some of those stories and some of that knowledge that I've learned throughout the years about how to keep your grow on the down low. Because even if it is legal, you know, some landlords don't like it. Your neighbors might not like it. It's super smelly. It's not like just drinking a couple beers, you know. You don't smell beers 3 doors down. So I think it's important, even though, even if you are in a legal state, just to be respectable to your neighbors and just, you know, landlords, whatever, everyone. It's an important thing to know, I think.
Absolutely. And you not only have experience growing medicinal plants, but you also have a vegetable garden, correct me if I'm wrong, but you have a pretty extensive vegetable garden you do. I think it's mostly outdoors. You've probably dabbled indoors, I'm assuming. Can you kind of break down what you've got growing on?
A little bit, yeah. So right now I have a 4x8 grassroots fabric pot in my backyard with a blue mat watering system. It's the soaker hose, blue soak system. So basically it's just hooked up to my hose. The fabric bed has, it's like a plastic liner in the middle of it. So it keeps the moisture content a little higher inside of the bed than a typical fabric pot. Paired with the blue mats that are just constantly releasing just the tiniest bit of moisture. I've got a ton of living soil and compost and topsoil and perlite in there, and man, dude, things just, you're talking 8 foot tall tomato plants at the end of the year. It's just insane, like unlimited amounts of zucchini. And I really don't have to do anything. You set the blue mat up, you plant the seeds in the beginning, and it's just go time. A little bit of weeding, but not much being in the 4x8 bed. So I've really enjoyed growing in that 4x8 bed and growing tomatoes. Cherry tomatoes. I'm a huge fan of zucchini and squash. We do basil and carrots. My son, he's 2.5. He loves the carrots. He'll dig them up 3 times and I'll have to replant them, and they'll come out all like kind of mangled at the end of the year, but he's still stoked, so I'm happy. and then my wife, she grew up on a farm, and so she has a ton of experience growing flowers and just being in greenhouses and stuff. So it's just like, you know, it's nostalgic, it's fun. And I really can't wait to teach my son how to, you know, garden on his own and just continue. Like, I could see myself adding more and more raised beds, and, you know, I'll sneak a medicinal plant in that raised bed every once in a while.
Nice, nice. Yeah, you mentioned your son and being able to teach him to garden in the future. And as you know, I have a daughter now, and same way, I cannot wait till I can start teaching her how to garden. As far as hiding those things from your son, right, are you going to be kind of stealth around him, or are you going to eventually introduce your plants to your children at some point early on, or what?
So if I was growing in the house, I would be very cognizant of odors. Mostly just odors, you know, noise and everything else, not a big deal. But my philosophy really is to treat it just like beer or alcohol. It's not for kids. It's for grown-ups. And so, you know, I don't really feel the need to hide it. But if I were growing indoors just for the respect of my whole family, I would make sure that, you know, odor is controlled all the time. And which can be difficult, especially when you're opening your tent. You know, you could have your odor perfectly fine, and then you open the tent for 20 minutes, and now your whole house is stinky. So there's some tricks that we can talk about to kind of combat that, and to kind of set yourself up in a way that you can still work in your garden, but also have control over odors and to be stealthy.
Yeah, let's get into that. We could probably get into that first, but one thing I did want to comment on, just to follow up, is, yeah, I feel the same way about, as far as not really hiding it from the kid, but teaching them that this is for adults, right? It's something for adults. Maybe keep them distance, right? You don't want them to be in contact with the trichomes or anything. All of a sudden, they get all of the hands or anything like that. So
all the toys are sticking to their hands. What are you doing?
Yeah, you walk in there, they're hanging all the things all over the planet, like a Christmas tree or something. That'd be pretty cool. Yeah. But no, I totally get what you mean by that. And I think that's kind of a separate conversation, is kids and medicinal plants and when you introduce to them and teach them and so on and so forth. We actually had that conversation on the From the Stash podcast. I know, you know, Rob and Pigeons, a long time ago, we talked about that. I thought that was a great conversation. But yeah, a whole different separate conversation there. Let's get into stealth growing. And I think you brought up the smell first. Let's talk about that. And then we could probably get into some other things like how to get equipment in and out of the house, how you hide it from roommates or your landlord, and how to hide light and so on and so forth. So for smell, when you've got the smell there, right, these plants do smell, particularly in the flowering stage, right? Even in veg, you're going to have some plant smell happen. How do you go about hiding the smell?
I'll start with like the easiest, kind of quickest, but laziest way. And that is, you know, say the smell is just kind of out of control. You know, you haven't been taking care of it, whatever. And you got someone coming over, and you know, you just don't want them, you don't want them to know about it. You know, maybe they know that you consume, but you don't want them to know about it. Light one up. Just light one up, cloud it up, and now they're just going to smell that, and they're not going to know that you've got a garden in the back bedroom. So I guess that's like number one, easiest, laziest, kind of just, but really it's tough. It's not easy because, you know, like I said, you open up the tent, smell leaks out. You harvest. How do you trim a plant without stinking up the whole house? I mean, it's not easy. But there are some things that you can do. But before we get into those, I think the first thing we should talk about is negative pressure. So negative pressure is when you're looking at your grow tent and you have your fan. It's sitting on top of the carbon filter, or maybe the carbon filter is mounted and the fan's beside it and it's pumping air out through the ducting. You'll notice that the sides of the tent start to squeeze in. And when those sides of the tent are squeezing in, that means that no air is leaking out through your zipper holes, through the holes in the bottom of the tent, the mesh holes, basically any hole, because no matter how well a tent is built, there's always going to be a hole, whether you can see it or not, that odors can get out. So negative pressure basically makes it so the stinky air that's in the tent only has one way out, and that's through the carbon filter, where it's scrubbed of odors, and then out the tube. You got to check that tubing for holes. If there's a hole in your ducting, your carbon filter will be useless. You got to check your connections, where your ducting connects to the carbon filter, where it connects to the fan. You got to make sure all those are tight and sealed. You can use tape. You make a special duct tape. Not like your traditional duct tape, but like the foil duct tape that is heat resistant, that you can seal it up with. But then it's like, you know, say you do all that and you got your negative pressure and everything's good, but you got to work on your plant. You got to open up the tent. You open up that tent, there's not going to, unless your fan is, you know, a 12 inch monster vortex fan and a 2x4 tent, you're not going to be able to keep negative pressure with the door open. It's not going to happen. So there's ways around that. One way is a lung room. So you utilize either the closet or the bedroom that your grow tent is in as a quote-unquote lung room. So what you could do is you could have a 4-inch carbon fan and filter inside of the tent that is creating negative pressure in the tent at all times. And then inside of the bedroom or closet that you're in, you can have a bigger fan that's rated for whatever size the room is with a carbon filter exhausting out the window. So now you've got negative pressure twice. You've got it in the tent, and then you also have it in the room. And you want to make sure that the door is closed to the room when you're working in there, obviously. But that should protect you, right? So if you open up the tent, you still have negative pressure in the room, so the smell isn't going to leak out under the door. And you can work in there, and then you can close it up. And, you know, once, you know, a half hour after you close it up, if you want, you could turn off the carbon filter in the big room, you know, and only run it in the small room. So I think that is really kind of the biggest thing that that people can do to really, like, have it under control for most of the time. You have a little bit of experience with this, so is that something that you ever tried?
Yeah, carbon filters are definitely key. I ran carbon filters for many years. Now I don't even bother to run them anymore, to be honest with you, because I'm just pumping it out up into my attic and it's being ventilated out my roof. But I'm not really hiding the smell. I don't really need to hide the smell much anymore. What about, aren't there like gel products or something that you can, that come in containers that people use? Have you used any of those? Are those effective? Or incense? Some people burn incense.
I've never used incense for that. I mean, I've used incense to cover up when I was lighting up when I was 16 in my bedroom, but I don't think it tricked my mom, to be honest with you. They don't smell that bad in the veg stage. They do a little bit, you know what I mean? Like, it's still it's enough, but it's not as nearly as potent as the bloom stage. And also, when I was doing a little bit of research on this, just to kind of recap before the podcast, I found that there are some varieties out there that are have lower odors. Like, they're just known for having lower odors, and so that's also something that if people are concerned about, they can look into. But the gel blocks that you're referring to, Ona Blocks is one of the this is basically the top brand, and they work fantastic. They've got thousands of reviews, 4.5 stars. We sell them on Happy Hydro, so if anyone wants to look for them, they can take a look. But mostly, if you have your carbon filter set up properly and you have some sort of lung room kind of set up properly too, you don't need them really until like your harvest and your trimming, and just when it gets to a point where, you know, it gets a little out of control when you're harvesting and trimming. So that's when you might want to introduce something like these Ona blocks that just basically overpower the odor with its own odor. It's like Febreze on steroids almost.
Yeah, I haven't personally tried that stuff, but I've heard some good things about it. What about hiding the light? Some people may say, oh, what are you talking about? Light, it's sealed up in the grow tent, so you're not really, it's going to not really be exposed. But what about like people who are just growing in a bedroom, for example? The window, there might be light leakage through the window, there might be light leakage underneath the door, and they're trying to hide it from their roommates or family members. Talk to us about hiding the light.
One of the best tricks for hiding the light from escaping outside of the window is to just have, like, you know, normal curtains in front of the window, and then you can build a box out of 2x4 and plywood that just comes out and around the curtain, and just install that over top of the curtain. That way, whoever's looking into the house, you know, it just looks like normal curtains. There's no black garbage bag taped over the window, or just there's no nothing weird like that. It's just, you know, normal curtains. So that's one of the best tricks. Otherwise, yeah, you're pretty much stuck to just using like some 7mm panda film, you know, black and white, to block the light out or something of the sort. Those are mostly the only options. And then even with grow tents, you know, if you're growing in a grow tent and you're having people over, grow tents leak light. Pretty much all of them leak a little bit of light, whether it's through a stitch in a zipper or whatever. So a lot of grow lights and a lot of this equipment nowadays, you can control from your phone with these automation apps. So if you know someone's coming over or whatever, and you can shut the light off for a little while. You can turn your fan down to its lowest setting. You don't want to turn your fan off completely, because then your odors, you'll lose your negative pressure and your odors will leak out. But you turn your fan down to its lowest setting, quiet it down, turn the light off. And those are some tricks, you know.
Yeah, for me, I use polyfilm that you mentioned. I have them covering my window, so it really does look black on the outside. But I have sunscreens as well. I'm in the desert, and sunscreens are very valuable out here. During the daytime, you can't really see that. It's like a black sheet, you know. And during nighttime, you'd have to actually be shining light through it in order to kind of see that that black polyfilm on the windows. So that's what I use. I mostly use it for keeping the light out of the room, you know what I mean? But it's good for keeping light from escaping the room as well. And for my doors, what I use is on the bottom there, right? There's that spacing. I use draft guards. So if you search on Amazon Twin Draft Guard, it basically is like a piece of styrofoam and plastic, circular, and it's the length of the door. And you basically just slide it underneath the door. So it prevents any light or anything really from coming into that bottom part of the door. And then what I did was cut up polyfilm, because of the cracks of the door all around the edges there, light was coming in that way. And so I would cut up a piece of the polyfilm and just basically cover it that way. And so when I'm opening up and closing the door, sure, there's like a flap of polyfilm, but that prevents light from coming in. And it would work well for preventing light from going out too. So I figured I'd mention those things.
Yeah, no, that's great. And that's kind of a good segue into how taking this adventure and starting to grow on your own can really teach you a lot about DIY. You can learn, I mean, farmers are plumbers, farmers are carpenters, farmers are electricians. They're everything, you know, they learn how to do it all. I learned how to do a lot myself, gardening and being a renter, because you can't just call your landlord if something goes wrong, you know. So I learned a lot of stuff on my own, and it's kind of a blessing in disguise. Like in that time, I was, you know, stressing out, like, oh no, my basement's flooding. What do I do? Oh, there's soil in the sump pump. Okay, I gotta like clean this out. Oh, I got it working, you know, awesome. Or, you know, learning how to deal with electricity and just everything. It's been so valuable, you know, because now I'm renovating my attic and I'm using these skills that I learned, that I never learned previously. So that's kind of cool. But I wanted to reverse back to odor, because there's kind of like a controversial thing that we didn't talk about, and that's ozone generators.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't even put those in our notes, but ozone generators, we don't sell them on Happy Hydro. Frankly, I don't really know what, if they're dangerous, if they're not dangerous. I don't know the interest. I've never done a deep dive on ozone generators. I know you may have, or you may have a little bit of...
Nope, I'm not, never used one, not very familiar with it. Just search for it on Amazon. I see there's one for $65.
The word ozone generator sounds kind of scary. You know, like, is it generating ozone in my house? Like, should I be breathing it? I don't know. I don't really know, but I know that people, I have been in a house where people have been using them. They do cover up odors, but I think, before anybody goes and uses those, they should kind of look into the, you know, whether or not they're safe, I guess, you know. If they're selling them on Amazon, you would assume, like, that Amazon would do their due diligence, but, you know, I don't really know. I know there's a debate, and that's why I don't list them on our website, because I don't want to, you know, steer clear of any controversy.
Sounds like a good question for the audience. Ozone generators, has anybody used them? Any experience with it? Let us know down in the comment section below. Going back to light real quick, I think you had a good story in regards to light leaking.
I got a few, man.
Can you talk to us about that?
I got a few. Which one do you want?
The basement one?
There was a guy who, I worked at the local grow shop, right? So that's kind of how I got my into this industry. I was doing some growing on my own. I went and I just started hanging out at the grow shop. They got a shipment delivered. I started, you know, the one day the owner was busy, I just grabbed a razor knife and started putting stuff on the shelves. I didn't even work there. It got me a job there, and, you know, I met all these people, and this one guy comes in. Everyone's telling stories, right? Because back then, you know, there was just less internet. You know, the grow stores where you hung out and shared all your stories, had to keep things on the low. This guy's telling a story about how him and his buddy rented a house, and they're growing in the basement, and they get it all set up, and they're using some 1,000-watt HPS lights, maybe a couple of them. They finish up, you know, it's like 1 in the morning. They're exhausted. They just spent, you know, 6, 7, 8 hours building this grow room. They got, you know, the plants and everything. They go outside, and they go to get in their cars to leave, and they look back at the house, and there's light just pouring out of the foundation through every single crack and hole, just bright yellow light pouring out of the foundation. And I was like, dude, what did you do? He's like, well, I didn't sleep that night, for one. Luckily, there was like a 24/7 Walmart or whatever. And they went and they bought, you know, 10 cans of great stuff, that like foam spray. And they went around the whole thing and just had to basically fill in the whole foundation, the whole 4 feet of foundation sticking out from the ground to where the first floor of the house starts. They had to seal it all up in the middle of the night. And I was just like, wow, man, that is. Just imagine that. Imagine like putting in all those hours, getting everything set up. You're getting in your car. You're like, you're feeling like, yeah, dude, we're done. And then you just look over, psh, bing, coming out of the.
That's crazy. That's got to be a rare thing, though, right? Because you said it was cracking the foundation. I imagine that there are bigger problems there. Like, what if water leaking in there too, like flooding the basement, right? If there's cracks or what?
Probably, you know. I mean, I think when this guy was looking for a house to rent, he was looking for cheap rent, and he wasn't really thinking about, you know, the quality of the foundation, or, you know, obviously he didn't even line the walls with poly or anything. He just grew it, you know, which a lot of people would say is a big no-no. But everyone's a beginner at some point, so you make mistakes, you figure it out. Hopefully you learn fast. And yeah, so they went around and they spray foamed it all in and got it all sealed up. But yeah, that was a funny one.
So definitely something to keep your eye on. That's somewhat unexpected, you know.
Yeah, checking for your light leaks, going outside, just pretending you are your neighbor. You know, what are your thoughts when you look at the house? Does it look like a house that? Is there light leaking? Does it smell? I had another guy who used to come in and, you know, the one day he comes in, he's like, you know, talking about clones and this and that, and he wants to trade some clones. I'm like, all right, cool. I go over to his house, man. I get out of my car. Oh, dude, I could smell it from the road. Like, it was kind of in the country, so the neighbors weren't on top of each other. I could smell it from the road, dude. And this was, you know, back in the day. It's not cool, not good. And I, you know, I go in, I'm like, dude, I could smell that from the road. He looks at me and just, meh. I'm like, what about, like, he's like, nobody comes here. I'm like, what about your mailman? What about, like, the pizza guy? What if a neighbor, like, knocks on your door? I don't know. That guy ended up getting in a little bit of trouble, actually, because of that reason. He didn't use any carbon filters, and so, yeah, kind of a bummer.
That's brutal. That reminds me of a story when you were over my house and we were trimming. You helped trimming. I appreciate your help there.
I love trimming, dude. Yeah. I want to sit down for 16 hours.
But we were sitting down trimming, and we're actually live streaming this too. This is back when I live streamed trimming, and I had my Mr. Grow It shirt on, and I get a knock on the door, and we're trimming probably 15 feet from the door, and obviously, the whole house stinks, right? Because it's a fresh harvest. They're dry. We're actually trimming at that point, but it still stinks, right? The whole house stinks, like you mentioned before. I open up the door, and I quickly exit the door because I know it stinks on the inside. And the FedEx guy is there, and he's like, oh, here, sign for this package. And then he looks at my shirt. He notices my shirt. He's like, oh, that's what that smell is.
Like, what does that mean? Oh, like, does that mean he knew great. Who you were from YouTube? Or?
No, I think he just... Like, my logo has, like, the leaf on it and grow it. And so, like, he put two and two together there. Anyways, it was kind of awkward. I signed for the package, then went in there, and I was like, man, this smell's escaping. And I've had friends and stuff come over before, and like, dude, I can smell from the street. I'm like, oh, God. You know, so it's like, sometimes I feel like I do need to do a better job of hiding the smell. I think that's only really been, though, harvest. You know, when I'm drying, when things are harvested, things are hanging for dry. I think that's when it really, really stinks. Because when it's in flower, I do have the exhaust going up into my attic and out the roof. So you can't really smell it down at street level. But hey, when I'm harvesting, I'm trimming on floor level. Well, then, unfortunately, it escapes all the way to the roll road for me.
Dude, next time we'll have to go in your attic. Be crumped up in there. No, I'm glad you brought that up, because I one of my notes here was you know, if you're in a place and you're kind of toeing a line and you got your smell under control and it's all good and you got it under control while you're opening the tent, whatever. But you know, when it comes to that trimming and harvesting, it's really hard to control it. And so sometimes the best move is to just take it somewhere else, trim it somewhere else. You know. Because it's tough. You can keep your negative pressure and you can keep carbon filter going and everything, but you know, one small mistake, you open the door, whatever, and it's just whoo. So if you can take it somewhere else to trim and harvest and stuff that's safe and secure and everything, that's an option too.
Good point. Yeah, because at that point it's really hard to hide it from your roommates or family members, and maybe we talk about that next. You know, how do you hide it from your roommates or family members, people living in the same house as you? How would you go about hiding it?
So this is tough, right? This is a good time for one of my friends, Ryan, has this really good quote. And the quote is, there's nothing sketchier than a sketchy guy acting sketchy. So the number one thing is to don't act sketchy. The number two thing is, if you're living with people who are like aware, you're probably going to have a really tough time to hide it. I mean, I don't want to say it's impossible. It's not impossible, but it's going to be really tough. And one of the ways that people are doing it, and I kind of just discovered this when I was refreshing for this podcast, was they got these things called space buckets. Did you end up checking that website out?
Yep, I've heard of space buckets, and I saw that website you sent me.
I never heard of those, and I was looking at them, and there's a whole Reddit community about space buckets, and people are taking 5-gallon buckets, and they're just growing like one little plant in this 5-gallon bucket, and they've got, they'll hook up a fan and a carbon filter to it and everything. And so I think that's an actual realistic way to grow at home without people you're living with noticing, if you're gonna take a stab at it. But still, you know, You might just have to trim and harvest somewhere else, unless you can really figure out the carbon filter, negative pressure, lung room type strategy for the odors. Other than the space buckets, you know, back in the day there were these like fake computer boxes they used to sell. You remember those?
Oh yeah, yeah.
They didn't even come with a carbon filter. There was just like a regular computer fan on the back, you know, and they just. I can't even imagine how many of those sold back in the day, but like even with something like that, like it's just gonna leak smell right out the back, and it's tough to control odors with a quiet fan too, right? Because the reason you got to use those inline fans with the carbon filters is because a regular like booster fan, a small quiet fan, doesn't have enough power to get the air through the carbon. The carbon restricts the airflow so much. That's why you got to use one of those powerful fans. So I would say this: if you know when someone at your house is going to be home, those are the times where you want your light off. You want your fan on a low setting, and those things go hand in hand, right? Because when your light's on, your fan usually has to be on at a higher setting to control the heat. When the light's off, you can keep the fan at a lower setting, so you're getting A, you're solving the light problem by just having it off during that time. You get the lower noise from the fan, but it's still on, so you get your negative pressure. If you're not using a space bucket or kind of some little homemade hidden thing, you know, they've got like stealth closets and all this stuff that some of it's pretty gimmicky. But, you know, if you're going to use a regular, like, 2x4 grow tent, you know, maybe you can play it off as a clothing, it's just a portable closet, clothing closet. I don't know how long you can get away with that for, but, you know, you can try the Ona blocks and stuff like that, but even that might be a little weird. Like, you know, hey, why is our one roommate's room always smell like this weird block odor, like, or like, so it's tough. Those are some things that you can do to make it easier. Reducing the amount of things that you're bringing in and out of the house. So like trying to reuse your soil or cocoa, buying things, keeping it small, buying things in small quantities, you know, reusing your delivery boxes, to put things in so you can just, you know, waltz them in and it's not some like, you know, sketchy black garbage bag or whatever. Things like that, you know, you're not going to be able to, or you're going to have a really tough time trying to lug a CO2 tank by when you got roommates. So just keeping it small. And maybe this doesn't have to do with roommates, but you really have to be careful about who you tell and who you trust, right? Every friend has a friend that they tell your secrets to. I'm sure there's like a few friends in everyone's life where they can like absolutely trust. But for the most part, every best friend has a best friend, and secrets just get shared. So you really have to choose who you're telling about it. That's about it. And I guess the final kind of thing to talk about when it comes to roommates is are you a good roommate? Are you being a good roommate to your roommates? Do you clean up after yourself? Do you respect them with not having it stinky and not being noisy or whatever? Like, it can go a long way, especially, you know, if say you are growing and your roommate eventually finds it, and you may not want to even do that without talking to them first. But if you already did and then they find out later and they're mad at you, that it might not be as bad if you were a good roommate beforehand. But if you're a pain in the butt and you don't have a good relationship with your roommates, and then they find out that you're growing in the closet, well, you're gonna be in trouble. So my note was to compromise, right? I think that's the best thing. If you can compromise with your roommates ahead of time and be honest and upfront with them, so you just don't have to hide it. It might be harder to do that with your mom or your family, but that's kind of my thought process on that. And same with neighbors, right? Like, if you're a good neighbor and you're nice and you're friendly, when something goes wrong or whatever, like they get annoyed, maybe they're gonna come and knock on your door and give you a heads up before they do anything crazy, or, you know.
Good point. I know when it comes to keeping it stealth from family, friends, roommates, you know, people living with you, I know plenty of people have kind of built out sections in their closet. They've built sections in their basement, in their attic, to where they've kind of boxed off areas, a garage as well, but they've really boxed off an area and made it so you can't really see there's a door anywhere, right? So like a stealth door that they're able to kind of open up and then get in there. And of course, hiding the smell and light and all that stuff. But yeah, finding a section in the home to where you can kind of box off and prevent anybody from even realizing that there's an area there. I think that's probably one of the most common ways to hide it from family or roommates.
Yeah, and that actually reminds me of a guy, a different guy from the grow shop, who's, I had the pleasure of going to his house, and he had a workbench that he had built, you know, and it had a big giant back on it that he hung all his tools on, but it was on caster wheels, but the caster wheels were hidden with like a 2x6 in front of them. So looking at it, you don't even know it's on wheels. But then he goes up to it, he pulls it, it opens up, behind it is a poly zipper door. And boom, you walk in and it's just like, whoa, dude. It was really cool, man. It's like some 007.
That's awesome. Yeah, I've seen so many creative things. I'm sure there's probably a whole Reddit section on keeping it stealth gardening, I imagine, because people get creative and it comes down to the DIY thing, like you mentioned before, kind of learning how to do things yourself.
It's fun. It's fun, man. You know, like when I saw that door, I was like, are we going to Harry Potter land? Like, am I going to end up at... What's on the other side here?
That's funny. So is there any other tips for keeping it stealth when growing indoors?
Don't forget about the smell of your nutrients and soil and stuff. anyone who's walked in a grow store, you know that smell. Those are organic nutrients and soils. Like, they might not smell like a medicinal plant, but it's got a strong odor. And so keeping those things in your tent, if you have room, or just in a place that has odor control, is definitely a good idea. Having one of your buddies come over, who knows what you're doing, and just having them like, hey, I want you to just walk into my house and just pretend like you just don't know that I'm growing anything. And I just want you to let me know, like, is there anything? Do you smell anything? Do you hear anything? Do you see anything? It's always good to get the input of someone else, because if you're hanging out there all the time, it might not smell to you, but it might smell to someone who's not hanging out in an indoor garden all day. So
yeah, being aware of the nutrients and the smell, particularly with organic inputs, I thought that was a good one there. I've used Build-A-Soil Craft Blend for many, many years. And one of the things in there, I think it's the fish meal, I believe, is in there. Man, it stinks. It's like really, like once I do that top dressing, those first couple of days, it really, really stinks. And so that can kind of cause a red flag. So yeah, I like that one. Good point there.
Yeah, totally. And it's often overlooked, you don't even think about it. Because there's so many different moving parts and stuff that you are thinking about. So it's easy to overlook that one. But another one I have here is traffic. You really don't want people coming in and out of your house all day long if that's where you're gardening, for many, many different reasons. There's another good quote, don't poop where you eat. And I think that kind of applies to that really well. So that's another one. And then something else, emergencies, right? We didn't really talk about emergencies yet. And, oh no, the water meter guy wants to come in and take a reading off my water meter, and I'm 7 weeks into flower. What do I do? You got to have a plan for that. You should have an emergency plan written out. And everyone who lives with you should know what the plan is, so you can enact it if the water guy does have to come in, or whatever. And sometimes that's when you just light up and the whole place just smells like a cloud instead of an active growing plant. And you say, oh, maybe your plan includes getting everything out of the house. A guy told me a story once that I forget what happened, but his landlord or whatever like had to come to the house. He took all the plants out of the basement, put them on the roof, and just had them on the roof of the house while the guy was working in the basement. I was like, that seems risky, but it worked. So that was a funny one. Another thing related to emergencies is if you're using like any type of automated watering systems, or you have like a reservoir of water going or anything like that, making sure that you're protected from floods. The last thing you want to do is have a flood from your irrigation system or whatever, ruin the floor, or just, create any problem that you may have to deal with your landlord or whatever, just anyone. Most grow tents come with a flood tray, which is pretty suitable. I mean, I think they come up, 4 to 6 inches on each edge. They can hold a lot of water. But if you're doing like a whole bedroom or something, you can get giant tarps, fold them in half, run them up the walls a little bit, nail 2x4s to the walls around to hold it up, and then you just have a big giant flood barrier essentially. And it's really just an insurance policy. Dehumidifiers. So obviously we know like there's a lot of humidity that comes with gardening. You're watering the plants, you can get a real humid environment real easily, and that can damage drywall, it can damage paint, if it's not under control. And if you're renting a place and you want to get your security deposit back, you're not going to want to ruin the paint and the drywall and stuff. So having a dehumidifier and just keeping that on your mind is another big thing. And on that topic, say you got to screw a bunch of stuff to the ceiling and you don't want to damage the ceiling, or you got to screw a bunch of stuff to the wall, you can just screw a 2x4. That way you're putting 1, 2, 3, 4 screws in, maybe 5, 6 screws in to the 2x4, and then you can screw things to the 2x4 without damaging the wall behind as much. Maybe it doesn't have anything with stealth growing, but for getting your security deposit back and just having less you know, cleanup work to do.
Lots of great points there on keeping things stealth when gardening indoors. Chris, I appreciate you coming on today. I'm sure there's things that we missed and that we're going to be told in the comments section. I would love to read those comments. So if we missed anything, if you have any advice for how to keep things stealth, drop it down in the comment section below. I love reading through all the comments and yeah, some really good stuff in there sometimes.
I'm sure somebody will mention the electric bill. We didn't mention that.
Oh yeah, we didn't talk about electricity.
People who are worried about the electric bill. We don't have to go into it, but I can tell you one thing. Don't steal power.
Well, these days with the lights being so efficient, I mean, yeah. If you're doing, I think my bill when I'm running two tents is like $30 a month, you know, yeah, so it's not too brutal. Back in the day when you're running 1,000 watts and you're running 4, 5, 6 lights, well, that adds up, right? Then it's hundreds of dollars per month easily.
Yeah, those old ballasts use more amps than the LED ballasts are using nowadays too, so.
Not as important these days as it was back in the day.
Totally.
So let's wrap things up. Tell the listeners how they can find you. And is there anything upcoming in the future that you want to talk about?
Yeah, totally. So if you guys want to support us, go to www.happyhydro.com. We sell complete grow tent kits, including soil and stuff, beginner kits where you buy the kit and you're good to go. You don't need anything else. No complicated nutrient regimens, just an all-in-one soil start to finish and a little bloom nutrient to go with it. We've got Grove bags, which are awesome. That's a new product that's doing great. Aaron just made a video on the Controller 69 Pro. He went, so that's on our YouTube channel. You can just search Happy Hydro on YouTube and you'll find Aaron. He puts so much time and effort into these videos and he loves making them. So if you guys can go to the Happy Hydro YouTube channel and give him a like, comment, subscribe, you know, all that jazz, he'll be stoked. Comment on his mullet, he'll be even more stoked. Yeah, what else are we doing, dude? We're continuing to add more products to the website. I'm building some calculators, so you know, a calculator where you can enter in your the wattage of your light, your seedling phase, the what dimmer percent, and it'll estimate how far to keep it from the plants based on that stage. Man, we've got all sorts of stuff going on. I could go on for a half hour. We're launching a merch store soon, too. That's where this shirt came from. Oh, and this beautiful mug.
Nice.
For those who, everyone who's a fan of The Office.
The Michael Scott on there, and then you got the Happy Hydro logo on the back. Yeah. Those that are tuning in on the podcast platforms and can't see, but that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's funny. The guys got me that for Christmas. It was fantastic. And you know, I'll say again, when you're shopping from us, you're really shopping from a group of friends who really care. You know, we've known each other for 10, 20 years. We're not just in this for the money. We enjoy what we do. We enjoy being able to work together. It's a gift. Would not be possible if it weren't for people shopping with us. So if you need any grow supplies, please come check us out. HappyHydro.com.
Awesome. Well, I'll definitely have a link to your website as well as YouTube channel down in the description section below. Also have as a pinned comment, so you can easily navigate to his website or YouTube channel and give him a follow or buy some products. And I think I have a coupon code, correct me if I'm wrong, is it Mr. Grow It? Is that still active?
Coupon code Mr. Grow It, all caps.
There we go. I think it's what, minimum spend of 100 though, right?
Spend 100 bucks, get 10 bucks off. I hate to have to do the spend 100 bucks, but when we ship out a package that's under 100 bucks, the shipping is 10, 20 bucks, and it's just, it's hard to give a discount. But yeah, Mr. Grow It, no period, just MRGROIT, $10 off, 100 or more.
Perfect. All right, Chris, thanks so much for coming on today. Really appreciate it, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your day.
It's always fun, dude. Appreciate you greatly, and hey, congrats on all the success with this channel and all your other channels, man. It's fun watching you guys, you and just everyone you're working with, just take off, you know. It's came a long way since you had your original channel that RIP was taken down.
Yeah, you've been there since the beginning, man, but I appreciate those positive words there. Thanks so much.
Totally, brother.
All right, peace out, everyone. Catch you in the next episode.